It's a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you guys for allowing me to be here with you this morning. And I appreciate David, who's Brian mentioned, is in Passaic this morning, giving me the opportunity to come in here and to share God's Word this morning. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit meets with us and teaches us something new. So David gave me the liberty to kind of teach wherever the Holy Spirit led me this week, and as I've been preparing, I know he's been in, I asked him where he was teaching at, and he said 1 Corinthians, and you guys have been walking through the first book of 1 Corinthians, and so that was, I was excited about that, just to continue with that topic of section of Scripture, also combine it with the theme that I've kind of had going with our volleyball team this year, and that's building on the foundation of Christ. And specifically, it's Paul's life ministry, discipleship, growing spiritually, and taking steps of faith to impact others. And just growing in the seven steps of spiritual growth that we see that's written for us, examining where we're at. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the seven stages of spiritual growth that are there for us, and just where we're at, you can kind of walk through that list and evaluate personally where each person, where pertaining to me specifically, but I just wrote this question: if Paul walked in the doors this morning, if the Apostle Paul walked through the doors of HBF this morning, what would he be looking for? Would it be for what type of building we have, or what kind of programs we were doing here, or how many people show up in attendance on Sunday morning? I don't think so. I think he'd be more concerned about what kind of a disciple-making church we are, and what are we doing with discipleship. And I've been able to start to learn a little about the character and the life of the Apostle Paul over the course of my studies, and just HBI and personal devotion time, discipleship with someone else, and I'm so thankful for the ministry of Paul, the testimonies and the direction, the guidance that he's left for us, and to see learn of his charge that he leaves us for us as believers. And the passages that we can study and that I'll reference some today, I'm sure they're mostly familiar to us all, but it's critical to our spiritual growth that we don't overlook them and that we don't miss them. And we know that Paul wrote a good bit of Scripture in the New Testament. And like I mentioned, you guys have worked through recently the passage such as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it talks about in verses 11 through 13, or our foundation, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, that's Jesus Christ. And then you build on the foundation. It can be gold, silver, and precious stones, which are the things that are eternal, which can be likened to making disciples, winning souls, and God's Word. Or you can be building on wood, hay, and stubble, which are the things that when they're tried by fire, they're burned up and they're not eternal. And I'll be the first to admit, I spent a lot of time and years in my life of investing in things that are not eternal. But we see that foundation that's laid for us, and it's Jesus Christ, and that's what we build on from the moment of our salvation and onward. And as we look at the life of Paul, we see his transformed life. I mean, Paul had a pretty dramatic transformation in his life. And it's really encouraging for me to see. And it's just where he started and came from, and where and how God got him to the place in his life that he was all in for Christ. Paul was sold out. When you look at what Paul was doing with the churches and discipleship and who he was teaching and leading, and Paul was all in for Christ. And he wrote, even in one of his epistles, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul tells us it's required in stewards to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that. And then in verse 1, the verse previous to that is that we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God. So we're to study and learn God's Word, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And we're to teach it to other faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's a key discipleship verse for us. And we hear that mentioned, a reference a lot here at HBF. And it's one that we should strive to memorize and have right at the tip of our tongues, that we're to teach others also. And if those things take place, we have biblical discipleship. Discipleship by multiplication, that is key. This is what Paul was doing in the churches on the mission field and to faithful men like Timothy and Titus. And one thing I love about Paul is I see he's got like a sportsman-like mentality. Paul was a fighter. He was a champion. He wrote things like, "I've ran my race, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." He never quit. Even through hardship, pain, struggle, shipwreck, persecutions. I mean, the list goes on. I know you guys are familiar with the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's thorn in the flesh that he besought the Lord to take away. Let me just ask you guys, did the Lord take away Paul's thorn in the flesh? No. He didn't. Hey, God chose not to. God said no. God said, I bestow my grace upon you, and I'm here with you through this. God's word says that I will never leave you nor forsake you, which means that God will not abandon us. He will never give up on us through whatever trial we're going through. And Paul had his number of them. And God says, I'm giving you my grace. My grace is sufficient for you to help you get through this. And Paul's response is incredible to that. And I'll just, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to turn over there, I'm just going to use that as Paul's response. I just wanted to reference Paul's response to this, though, that when he asked God to take away the thorn in his flesh. And in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And those words are in red there in my Bible. And right after that, Paul's response says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." His response is incredible. And Paul learned that it wasn't about his life or power that was going to make the difference, but it was Jesus' life and Jesus' power that he was willing to be all in for Christ's sake. Not because Paul was some supernatural strong person or any different than any of us, but it was for Christ's sake and God's grace that bestowed upon him. Paul was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I like that. Pressing toward the mark for the prize. I mean, he had his, you know, focused on where he was going and what he was doing for Christ. And that's in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. In Paul's transformation, he went from a persecutor to a proclaimer. And in Acts chapter 9, the chapter where Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus, the conversion of Saul. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 1 it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord." I mean, this man was not on God's side. He was against the Lord and his work and what was going on. And he was a persecutor of the church. And if you drop down into verse 4, and it says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And God was calling him. And he met him right there on the road to Damascus. And in verse 5 it says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he's saying, you know, Paul, you're making this harder than it needs to be, and why don't you just come with me? And right there, his transformation and conversion was pretty dramatic. And also in Galatians chapter 1, I wanted to mention, it also says in verse 13, it says, "For ye have," this is Paul writing to the church of Galatia, but he says, "For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion," talking about his conversion is to salvation, his transformation, "how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace," it was God's grace. By God's grace, we're even all here right now this morning.
Amen.
And we were all like this at one time, lost in our sin, and God called us by His grace. And in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 10, as Paul says, "And by God's grace, I am what I am." And he speaks of laboring in the ministry by God's grace. So what are we doing with our for God with our time? Is just a question that's really been lingering on my mind and on my heart. And we can see from Paul's life, it's not about where you started, but it's who you're following. And it's not about self-sufficiency or anything you can do for yourself or from your own strong will. But it's about Christ's sufficiency. And Paul's transformed life changed his direction, his identity, and his mission. He had different purposes in his heart, and that is what fueled him throughout his life. I mean, you see somebody, I'm sure we all know somebody that's gotten saved, and you have different purposes and different desires in your heart, that you once wanted to do this stuff and now you don't. And it's like, man, how can you? People, you know, your friends or people, you know, can look at you and say, how are you different? Why are you like that now? And it's because of your saved transformation that takes place. And so Paul had different desires and different purposes in his life after his salvation. We see his past, and it shows us that no past is too far. No lost person is too far away from God. No sin is too deep. And no heart is too hard for the transforming power of Christ. Christ can, God's Word and the Holy Spirit and Jesus will meet you where you're at, and anybody can, nobody's too far gone for God, for God's grace. He meets us where we're at, and we have to do the same for others. So Paul built on this Paul built on this foundation. He added to his faith virtue, which is virtue is just doing what you know, simply doing what you know to do. And one of the first things we see Paul do after salvation is stand up and preach and speak of his transformed life and his testimony. And he was sharing his faith in what God had done. And he added, and then he added knowledge as he grew spiritually to his virtue. And he served Christ not to earn his salvation, but because he'd already received God's grace. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul says that, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." The previous things he'd accomplished in his life meant nothing. He was now being called to a different purpose and different goals, like I mentioned. So on our study guides here that we have, we've got some statements, some truths about Paul's life and legacy that pertain to his ministry. And these are building blocks of faith. I like to call them building blocks that we can build on. They're things that I need to know, I should know, I feel like, and we can all learn, and that we can teach others. And so the first one, discipleship lessons from Paul. It says that Paul understood that growing spiritually is not just knowing Christ, but helping others to follow Christ. Is that what you can put in your blanks? But helping others to follow Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I have some of these verses. I think I have most of these verses on the page, but I like to turn them in my Bible because I've got stuff written in my Bible too. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we should be, it's good for us to follow men that are leading us in the right direction, and folks that are discipling us, but we should be following after Jesus Christ and not man, ultimately. And in 2 Timothy 2:2, the verse that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul understood that growing spiritually is not just knowing Christ, but helping others to follow him. It wasn't about who he was, speaking of Paul, it wasn't about how smart he was or how well he was known, or all of the things he'd learned in his teachings growing up, but it was about the impact Christ had on him when he met him on the road and to Damascus and changed his life. And so much so that he wanted others to experience the same thing, and he made sure to tell them. It wasn't his power, but knowing Christ and having that personal relationship with him, that's what we can share with other people whenever we evangelize and are sharing God's word, that we be sure to tell others that it's that personal relationship with Christ that makes that transformation. And moving on to our second point, Paul invested intentionally in faithful men like Timothy and Titus, trusting God to use them for the work of the ministry. And no one worked harder than Paul in ministry. I mean, he was planting churches, he was laboring abundantly, the scripture says, and he was bought in. He was all in. He was investing God's word and discipleship into others. Men like Timothy and Titus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And in Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." These men were sons in the faith to him. He discipled them. He invested in them. And Paul didn't necessarily live what I'd call a balanced life. Like I've mentioned, he was sold out for Christ. It's not ideal for us to still live with one foot in the world and one foot trying to serve the Lord. We've got to decide to be all in and just do the best we can and trust God's grace that He's going to give us the strength and ability to do that. And to Romans 12:1, that we live our bodies a living sacrifice. He was sold out for Christ, for His ministry, for His calling. Paul lived with his spiritual legacy in mind, as we should. And we can ask ourselves, if we were to die today, what kind of impact would we have on others? What kind of impact would others be impacted to continue in spiritually growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the impact that we've had on them? Christianity was never meant to be lived alone or kept to ourselves. The word to share it with other people, any and everybody that we can. That's why God still has us here. Here we can see how true discipleship multiplies. And investing in God's word and others are the only things that are eternal that will last. Like I mentioned, making disciples, winning souls, and God's word are the things that are going to last for eternity. These men he invested in were ordinary men. There was nothing special or different about them except for that they were faithful and reliable. Referring to Timothy and Titus, they weren't famous or any different than the other men, except they had character traits that we should strive to have in our life. We should try to share the model for others to be someone who's dependable and faithful. This is to our family and friends, that we can be reliable, that can trust us, count on us to help with their needs And this is how God builds His church, through faithful, reliable people. So a question we can ask ourselves is, who are we pouring into? Who are we investing in? Or who or what are we allowing to be poured into us? And our third point, Paul's ministry impact came not from his own ability, but from being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 4 to 5, Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And in Galatians 2:20, a verse that most of us are familiar with, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ," and here's the key, "nevertheless, I live, yet not I." That's a very humbling statement that Paul has right there. "Yet not I. It's nothing to do with me, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul began to learn it was the Holy Spirit that worked through him to reach others and impact others. It had nothing to do with his intellect or his previous education, what he said or didn't say. It was the Holy Spirit of God that changed people's lives, along with God's Word. And it's the same with us today. And I have First Thessalonians, just to go back to the point of Paul's labor and ministry and how hard he worked for the mission that God had given him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, here it says, "Also, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day." And this is speaking of ministry work. This is speaking of, not just things that he wanted to do, his hobbies and whatever. This was ministry. "For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." I mean, this was Paul's life work. Doing the Lord's work. And a good example for us. "If we're faithful to evangelize and minister to others and share the gospel, God's word will work in people's lives and seeds will be planted and watered, and the Holy Spirit will convict others to surrendering to Christ just as we once did." Paul was bold in his preaching, but he also relied on the Holy Spirit to do the work, not himself. We need to be Spirit-filled workers and not just believers relying on our flesh and self-sufficiencies. But we will be ineffective in accomplishing God's work if we're relying on ourselves, our flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, that passage that I read through earlier, "That my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul knew it was God's power that was leading him, and God's power that he was able to do anything at all, which is the same for us. And we can learn another personal lesson from Paul by how he handled the results, which leads us to our last point. The Holy Spirit's power. And point number 4, Paul remained grateful for what God allowed him to do. He understood that all fruit comes from God's grace. And that's the key point that I want to leave with us today, is that spiritual fruit, it's only by God's grace that any spiritual fruit comes to our account, that it's nothing to do with our flesh, but it's God's grace. And Paul never forgot where he came from. He was grateful and thankful for all that God was allowing him to do and be a part of his mission. And he didn't take it lightly, but rather it was the most important thing in his life because of he knew where he came from and what his life could have been. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll read. I think this is Pastor Randy Foster's life verse, is what I think he's called it. I've heard him quote it a few times and reference it. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'll read through verse 15. And it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying in verse 15, "and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," Paul says. And God is so gracious to us, guys. I'm just, this would what this whole lesson for me was about, was just how God is so gracious to me and all of us, even when we're weak, when we're not worthy of it. But it says Christ did it for a reason. That's to save sinners like us and others that need to hear, that need to be saved, that need to know Jesus, because He loves us. We know that that's why God sent His Son to die to pay the penalty for our sins, because He loves us. And that's a message we can share with others, just like Paul did, along with our testimony. We see Paul several times throughout Scripture in the book of Acts specifically, but Paul uses his testimony when he's preaching and sharing to other people. And that's just a easy way for us to share the gospel and evangelize. If you're haven't had much experience doing that, it can be intimidating, but it's with people that you know, family members, coworkers. It's just a good way to share what God's done in your life and using your testimony to share the gospel, just like Paul gives us examples of. And God is so gracious to us and He loves us. And let's remember that gratitude and being humble will prevent pride from taking over in our lives. When we remember what we truly deserve, we all know we deserve death. The Bible says that sin, the penalty for our sin is death, versus what we get. And so we remember what we truly deserve versus what we get, and that is very humbling. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." So let's remember to be humble. And lastly, in 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, Paul's swan song here, and it says that this is a faithful servant, and his faithful Lord is the heading to this chapter here in verse 4, or chapter 4, I'm sorry. And in verse 6, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Amen to that. And we don't know the amount of time we have left here. It could be a lot, it could be very little. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, I believe it is, that that we boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what it... I'm sorry, I might misquote that, but we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for any of us, and we don't know how much time we have left here to accomplish God's work. And it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So, who would still be serving Christ because we invested in them after we're gone? Let us be faithful to our calling as Paul was for the sake of Jesus, because he deserves it. Paul's life and legacy remind us Christianity is not just being saved, it's being sent. And Paul didn't measure his success by accolades or numbers, how many churches he planted or how many people got saved or his reputation. He measured it by faithfulness, as we see there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. By and only by God's grace, a once persecutor became a proclaimer of the church. A man who once destroyed believers and attacked them became one who built them. He built them up and uplifted them and encouraged them. And that is God's transforming power. Will we follow Paul's example? And who is following Christ more closely because of us? Grace saves us, but grace also keeps us and calls us to build the church and to be faithful. And that's my message this morning. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or comment about the life and ministry of Paul? I know we're done a little early, but sorry about that. I was prepared for the 30 to 35 minutes, and I thought we'd get started about 9:35 or 9:40, so I was hoping to not keep everybody held up in here for very long, but or over time. But God's really just been speaking to me of His grace in my life, and that we should turn to Him whenever there's problems in our life and it seems like there's obstacles that we can't get over or get through, like a wall is suddenly there, that it's just God's grace that we turn to, and God's His sufficiency, that it's just naturally a desire for us to want to turn to something to help fill our void that we have. And for me, at one time, it was alcohol for a long time, and that's what I turned to. And now it's learning to turn to God's grace and to the Word whenever we face those trials and obstacles in our life. But
Caleb,
yeah,
I did want to say one thing. So you brought out a picture of Paul that I hear other people talk about him, but I don't often enough look at Paul in the way you presented him today. You think about all the things that he did. He was this, and then he became this, and he took off and he didn't stop. Nothing stopped him, and the Lord kept picking him up, dusting him off. He just kept on, and he was over here and over here and over here. And so looking at the big picture of Paul, I don't know how it was just God's grace that let him do it. But the whole time you're saying that, I'm thinking, I should step back more myself and look at the big picture of, God took me from here and placed me here, and He's equipped me, and He will dust me off when I fall, but am I going here and here and here, and who am I raising up, who am I lifting up and discipling? We should step back from time to time and look at our big picture of what God's doing for us. Paul is a good one to emulate, but we have the same power. We just don't push ourselves out to that degree.
Amen. Yeah, that's amazing. I think about Paul's everything that he went through. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he received stripes, he was beaten, he was stoned, he suffered shipwreck. I mean, all of these. And he just kept going on. And he just kept doing the work of the ministry and working for the Lord, and just trusting that God was going to get him to where he needed to go, and the Holy Spirit leading him. Yeah, it's... I really enjoyed trying to get to know the Apostle Paul a little better. Thanks for sharing that.
I really liked how you said, you know, if you got taken out today, who's going to continue your ministry? Or who's going to continue in your footsteps? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty tough challenge if I think about it today. I mean,
amen.
I think my buddies would yeah, he was kind of into Jesus. That's about all they'd say about it at my funeral, you know. So I better start working on my right-hand man or my sons or somebody who's actually going to, you know, I can be very devoted myself, but who's going to maybe do it when I'm gone?
Yeah.
Amen.
Pastor Brian discipled me when I was, after I got saved, shortly after I got saved, when I was 17, 18, and went through Discipleship 1 with Brian, and then me and Chris are going through discipleship right now, and it's just a blessing to see over time, generational, spiritual growth.
We should take a picture.
Yeah, we should. That's good. All right, thank you all for letting me come in this morning, and I can pray, and we can be dismissed. Is that okay?
I think I don't want to tarry too long, but I think we should do a little reflection. One thing that you said, was really struck me, and it made me think. Actually, was when you said Paul didn't have a balanced life, that was a really profound statement, because today in our culture, that's like the thing, you know. And biblically, you know, Proverbs 11:1. So you think about that, and it is good. That's dealing with that, but that passage in Proverbs 11:1 is talking about stealing from God. It's not really.
Is that a false balance? Is it abomination?
Abomination, yeah. But we use it in a more Laodicean way to put a foot in the world. And you pointed that out in your message. And it just really hit me, because I tend to lean all in. But I didn't even that you when you said that it actually the contrast hit me, like, spiritually, like I realized, like, I've in my mind I've been subject to the influence of the world, because you should be balanced, you know, we teach that, and you got to get rest and you got to get this and that, but it just actually gave me some grace, because I do lean more all in than because I do feel like when I back off too much, I feel like I'm going to slide back to the world. And part of that full bore, leaning forward mentality, and it really—that's—I believe I don't I can't speak for everybody, but some of us, like, that's the only option we have. I mean, you either go forward or you're going backwards. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that was a profound thought I needed to hear, because of the way we take Proverbs 11:1, and a lot of times, really what. I don't even think we do it on purpose, because it is a good passage to talk about and help people, you know, from a devotional aspect, have balance in their life, make Jesus the center of everything and all of that. But at the same time, Paul wasn't going backward, right? He was all in, as you pointed out, and full tilt, full bore, you know, not a foot in the world. So I know it's really, seems like elementary thought, but it's really pretty profound when I meditate on it. So, especially in light of what you're talking about with discipleship and how what you're going to leave behind and who's going to be there, who's investing in you and who are you investing in. So that's good.
Well, you have that false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but what does it say after? But a just weight is His delight.
Yeah. Yeah, and the weight of the ministry is all that Paul was interested in.
Yeah.
Any other ways? That's good.
So when you said, I was thinking about when you said that about Paul and how he was going forward for the ministry. You know, he never in there, he talked about his infirmities, right? He never blames anything of spirits. He's just, it's his own flesh. And I think that sometimes we try to look at the world as, oh man, you know, you know, the world's bad. We know this. We know this, but our flesh is worse because it sticks us wherever we go. We carry it with us no matter what.
It's always with us.
So that's what I, you know, in volleyball, what we would talk about too is being, you know, be holy for He is holy. You know, it's about being holy when no one's around and understanding that. That's what Paul was trying to do. He was just being holy because God is holy. So what did God want him to do? Well, this is what I need you to do. And he just said, okay, let's get it done. And that's the mentality I have. It's like, hey, I just want to get up and get it done. I know that people are like, hey, you know, slow down. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but I have one gear. And I need to learn how to kind of ratchet that down a little bit. Because there's things that God needs you to see in his word in order for you to go do something. There's training and stuff that needs, you need to deal with your own personal life first. So, it's a good word, brother. Good word.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ray. Yeah, it's really cool to see Paul's transformation of his life, of where he came from, and who he was, the type of man he was, the type of person he was. I mean, he was literally chasing down God's people and imprisoning them and going against the church, and it's just crazy that, like, he was doing that stuff, and then he was, you know, his transformed life, that, you know, what he was doing later in life for God. It's pretty cool to see that transformation, and it just reminds me that nobody's out of God's reach. Nobody's too far gone in sin. People can get caught up in sin, and but God's grace is always there for us, and God's grace is enough to bring us back and cover that sin if we choose to repent and turn to God, or for salvation too. But that's good. Thank you all for sharing those thoughts. Does anybody else have anything this morning? If not, I can pray and we could get out of here. Yes, sir. Thanks, Bob.
Brothers, you're saying that. I'm looking behind you at the India persecution. I'm praying that God will do that with some RSS zealots, some people that might be going after our brothers to meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. That's or the road to wherever they're going.
Yeah.
Chattisgarh or right wherever they're headed, if God intercepts them.
Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to just show us what you have for us in your word. Lord, we just thank you, praise you for your grace and in our life, and we just pray that we can really be intentional and devoted to doing the work that you've called us to do. I know it's each person looks a little different. I just pray that we can serve in ministry and serve at home and serve in the workplace and just have a servant's heart. Lord, that we can impact and reach other people, however that needs to be, Lord. Everybody comes from all walks of life and needs different ways of reaching them with the gospel for your sake. And we're just thankful for you just being a good God to us and being a loving and forgiving God, and also you're just and you're righteous, Lord, and you just are calling people to you, calling people to salvation and ministry. And just thank you for just allowing us to open up your word this morning. I just pray for the ones, Lord, that stand for your name, stand for Jesus, and stand for your word, and are persecuted because of it. And Lord, I just pray for strength and mercy on their life, protection, and for those that choose to stay. Yeah, I am with Christ. I do identify with Christ. I do. I am a Christian. I do love God and want to serve God. And a lot of times we get laughed at, and Paul even got mocked for preaching of you, Lord. And I just thank you for just giving us the ability to just continue to press on and not be ashamed of our faith, and just to do it because you deserve it, and you're a good and gracious God to us. And just bless us this morning, bless the main service and the preaching and the teaching and the praise, and just pray that you be glorified through all of it this morning. And thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Chris, I
thank you, bro.
I left that in.
Thank you, sir.
So I need to get that.
Yeah. Why is that still going? Oh, I'm recording. It's got a hold on. Okay.
It has a key.
Hold on.
Not that anyone's going to break.